Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Last night, somebody called me and then asked, "Pastor, will you be in church today?" I said, "Yes, I'm preaching." So when Shanting asked, "Why are you here today?" I look at Alexa, "Because I'm preaching." But more than that, I was just reflecting recently that a lot of my life has been, after listening to Elder Yifeng's sermon actually, a lot of my life has been trying to fight to come to church. I study very hard in school so that I can come to church. You know, your parents don't have to worry that you're not studying, lah. So you do well, and then you find the right to come to church on Sunday. And I think that's why I come, to seek God, to perhaps listen if He's saying anything through people, whether there's something I can bring to the table to serve others. It's just a really wonderful place for me to be, lah, the church community. So why am I here? Because I want to be in the presence of the Lord. Have you ever wondered if you mattered to God? That you as an individual person mattered to the Most High God? And if you do matter, how much? Many years ago, when I finished my SBM, I attended what we call Residential Bible School, or RBS. Now, it's a Bible camp run for school leavers by the Brethren Assemblies. And it's very It's like between 4 to 6 weeks long. I can't remember how long mine was, but it was definitely 4 or 5, not 6. And at one of these sessions, the organizers felt that they needed to change some things up because there was a certain need in the midst of the students that they wanted to meet. And so they had this special session where 3 of the leaders would share their testimonies. And They were very moving testimonies about how God values us, their struggle to know what they are worth, and their struggles in life, basically. I know it touched many of us, and at the end of it, we were all asked to close our eyes, bow our heads, and if you wanted prayer, to raise your hand. Now, I wanted so much to be prayed for, but I had also known after a few weeks that many of my friends at this camp, they were struggling with many different things. And so I thought, don't add to people's burden, lah. Right? If I put out my hand, that means they have one more person to pray for. So just keep quiet, sit still, heads bowed, eyes closed. Until now, I still do that. Like whenever the pulpit says, please bow your heads and close your eyes, I actually still close my eyes and bow my heads. And then I realize that actually I'm a pastor. I should look up and look around who I can pray for. But just saying that, okay, I had my head bowed and my eyes closed. And suddenly I felt this hand on my shoulder. It's a physical hand, okay? And Auntie Maylin, one of the counselors, began to pray for me. As she prayed for me, I teared because what I felt was that somebody cared. I didn't put out my hand, but they still prayed for me. But then in my heart also, I thought maybe they pray for everybody, like in the end. Hand up, hand down also, I don't know, ma, because my eyes closed. So maybe she prayed for everybody. And then when I finally opened my eyes and went up to her, I thanked her. I said, "Thank you, Auntie Maylin, for praying for me." She said, "Do you know that you are the only person who didn't put up the hand that I prayed for?" Everybody else that she prayed for had put up their hand, but I was the only one who didn't put up my hand, but she prayed for me. I was like, wow. I said, "Do you know why? Tell me." "Because as I was walking past you, I felt the Lord say, pray for her. But she never put up hand leh. Pray for her." And so she prayed for me. And if I cried the first time, if I teared the first time, at this juncture, something inside me just was transformed. God saw me. I mattered to Him. And that has been perhaps a foundation for me as I journey through life as a Christian, that whatever comes our way, or my way, I know that God says I matter to him. And today's passage, which Marcus will read for us, is from Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 43. And I hope that you will also see that these people in the passage matter to God. Marcus.
Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciple answered. "And yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Father, would you open our hearts to receive your word? And the Lord, you would use it to transform our lives and draw us nearer to you each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The gospel according to Mark begins with a series of teachings and then four accounts of powerful acts by Jesus. Pastor Alexa expounded on the first, which was the calming of the storm. Jesus just spoke and the storm was stilled. Then Pastor Ruth gave us the second demonstration of God's power when he freed the demoniac from legion. These two accounts show that Jesus has power over nature. He has authority in the spiritual realms. Chapter 6, there is a passage where it contains two things, where Jesus feeds the multitudes and also walks on water. While it's two events, they're lumped together as a show of his power and authority over matter. This morning in chapter 5, we will be looking at Jesus' power over disease and death. And by extension of that, we will also see that Jesus was not affected by the uncleanness of these events. So the lady with the bleeding issue, with the blood issue, she was unclean, ceremonially unclean. The little girl who had died, being in her presence and touching her, that also would have made anyone ceremonially unclean. But it didn't affect Jesus. But before we jump into that, let's have makan sandwich. Mari kita makan sandwich, okay? Now, the Gospel of Mark has this very unique literary feature called the Markan sandwich, Just put there makan sandwich of an illustration so you can remember it. Now, what is a makan sandwich? A makan sandwich is where there's a story that is wrapped around another story. These stories appear together. Sometimes it feels as though they are not connected. But if you look at them as one whole literary piece, you will know that there is a different way to read them. Now, the first makan sandwich that we saw was actually preached to us by Elder Yifeng, where the question was, who are my mother and my brothers? This one is a very famous makan sandwich because it's very obvious. We have the two stories of Jairus at the start and at the end, and then we have the story of the lady with the bleeding issue in the middle. Now, the central part, think a sandwich. You have two pieces of bread, and then whatever is in the middle, that's what defines the sandwich, right? So if you have tuna in the middle, what sandwich is it? Tuna. If it's egg, okay. It's bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Right? So it's that middle part, right, which makes the sandwich. And so in the same way, although Jairus' story is important, somehow that central part of this sandwich is about this lady, this unnamed lady. And so as we look at, there's seven makan sandwiches throughout the Gospel of Mark, so you can read up on them, and perhaps you will approach them a little differently, because we're supposed to compare and contrast some of the characters or what's happening, and then you pull out a deeper meaning from this sandwich. But first, let us look at the characters in today's passage. Let's see what they have in common. Now, these two main characters that seek Jesus, what do they have in common? They are desperate. They are desperate for healing. Jairus is desperate for his daughter. The lady is desperate for herself. They both believe that being in contact with Jesus, by touching him, that healing will come. Jairus says, all you need to do is come, touch her, and she will be healed. The lady thinks, all I need to do is touch his cloak, and I will be healed. They're both desperate. They believe in his touch, and they have faith in Jesus. They come to look for him. That faith spurs them to action. But this is where their similarity ends, because Jairus and this unnamed lady could not be more different in terms of their background and their life position. Jairus is a man. The lady is a woman. In a patriarchal community, she has little standing compared to him. He just needs to exist and he is respected. Financially, Jairus as a religious leader could be very well off. We even see that he has members of his household. These could be his family members, could be servants, could be slaves, coming to tell him the bad news. So he has a household. He can afford a household. This lady has spent all she has looking for a cure. I asked Marcus to emphasize the all just now, but not oomph enough lah. So the lady has spent all she has on cures, on medicine, on whatever it is. And according to Pastor Jeremy, who's also preaching this same passage in the Chinese church, he said in his research, he realized that some of these cures that she was looking for or that they had back then were similar to our Bomo type of cures. A bit magical. So she had paid money, good money, 12 years to be cured, but the scripture tells us she didn't get better. Standing. Jairus was a husband. He's a father. He was a religious leader. In the community, he is respected. This lady, she's unlikely to be married. And if she is or she was, she's likely to be divorced, because 12 years of bleeding makes her unclean to her husband. 12 years of bleeding makes it impossible for her to have children. She's not a mother. She's not a wife. And she has been unclean for 12 years. What does it mean? Now, for the people back then, if you look at Leviticus 15, if you have a bleeding issue, The chair you sit on becomes unclean. The people you touch becomes unclean. Everywhere you go, you become unclean, and therefore you should isolate yourself. For 12 years, this lady is unclean, isolates herself, no community. Jairus approaches Jesus confidently, boldly, humbly. He falls at his feet and says, "Please come and see my daughter." But he comes with the right to speak and ask. This lady approaches in stealth. I think ninja. She tries to go as quietly, as near as Jesus to touch him without anyone knowing. They are so, so different. And yet, Jesus stops in his tracks on his way to Jairus' emergency to look for this lady, to look for this person who has touched his clothes and to speak to her. This lady with no standing, no name even. This whole sermon, I'm going to refer to her as the lady, because the Bible doesn't give us her name. Who touched my clothes? The disciples' response reveals the absurdity of Jesus' question. You are surrounded by people, and you ask, who touched you? Come on, Jesus. People will touch you one lah. Deal with it. But what I'm interested or very fascinated when I read this passage is that while people are brushing against Jesus and touching him, right, no power flows out from him. It is only this lady touching his cloak that Jesus feels power move from him. So she's different from the crowd. She's different. And Jesus stops in his track to ask, who touched my clothes? Now recall that the lady is an outcast. She's been out of community for 12 years. She shouldn't even be around a crowd, much less in contact with this great teacher. Now I invite you to join me on this very make-believe story, okay, just to make a point lah. Imagine that you have COVID and you never got well. As in, you become this shadow of the COVID virus, okay? Forever and ever, you test your positive one. Positive week after week after week. My sejahtera asks you, you have to be positive, positive, positive. So for 10 years, you're positive with COVID. Okay? Chinese New Year, after Chinese New Year, you cannot go out. Like me. Okay. And then one day, you just cannot tahan lah. I'm going to wear my mask. I'm going to go out. And of all things and all places you go to, you decide to visit a pepper factory. Pepper, lada hitam, lada putih. Because I don't know why, you just think that pepper is very interesting. And so you go in with your mask, and suddenly you, hachi! Then your tour guide say, who sneezed? Then everybody else say, come on, tour guide. This pepper factory, of course people will sneeze one. No, that was a COVID sneeze. Who sneezed? Now, to reveal yourself, right, implications are, you have COVID lah. Should you be out? No. You've come and harmed us even. Right? So, not very good if you have the COVID sneeze. Now, in like manner, to answer who touched my clothes would imply some trouble for this lady. I'm not supposed to be here. On top of that, I'm not supposed to touch anybody. And I touched Jesus. And in touching him, I stole power without permission. I received healing without his knowledge. I've defiled everyone around me, and I've defiled the teacher. To confess that I touched his clothes will bring me trouble. But somehow, he knows. He's looking for me. So I imagine that to be her internal conversation. And in fear and trembling, she fell at his feet and told him everything. Remember, we're still in the crowd. I'm sure those nearest could hear her story. I've been bleeding for 12 years. Nothing has worked. I have no more solutions. I just knew that if I touch your coat, I would be healed. I'm sure she said more than that, but the fact that Jesus listened. Jesus stopped, he listened, and then his reply, Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Go in shalom. Be freed from your suffering. There were no words of rebuke. There were no words of judgment. There were no words of shame. Instead, Jesus liberates her further. He legitimizes her healing. It was not stolen. He dispels any notion that he has a magic cloak that anybody touches will be healed. No, he says it's your faith that has healed you. And he blesses her with a peace that encompasses her whole well-being. Shalom. Jesus' action in stopping, in searching, listening and speaking to her ought to mesmerize us. She is considered worthless in the eyes of society, but he stopped. It should cause us to ponder how precious he made her feel. But we don't have time for that, because straight away, these people from Jairus' house come and says, your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. To them, Jesus is still but a teacher. And so Jairus would have seen, would have heard the conversation that went on. And still he's not sure what to do. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. Just believe. And so they hurry on to his household. And when they get there, people are mourning already. The funeral is taking place. And Jesus says, she's not dead, she's asleep. Of course, people will laugh. We know what a dead person looks like, la. She's dead. That's why the funeral is here. And you know, so they laugh. He goes into the room and speaks their normal language. It's understandable. It's not a mysterious heavenly language. He says to her, little girl, I say to you, get up. She wakes up, walks around, and is even able to eat. Now, this part of she eating is not because we're all Asian and eating is very important, but it is to show you that this was not a disembodied spirit. She was physically alive, and she could eat. Now, one of the last things that the two of them that we can contrast is that we cannot help but notice that in one situation, Jesus calls for a public announcement. Who touched my clothes? Make yourself known. And in this situation, he gives strict orders for secrecy. Why? It is believed that the reason for the secrecy of Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead is that it was not yet time for people to know that Jesus had the power of the resurrection. I just find it interesting, an interesting scene to imagine in my mind, that at a funeral, suddenly the deceased walks around, eats food, and then you go like, huh, so she really was asleep. Or was she? They're confused. But Jesus doesn't seem to be interested in correcting them. Jesus doesn't seem to be interested in winning them or changing their perception. He was just there to minister to Jairus and the family. So what can we make of this sandwich? One, Jesus has the power to heal and to raise the dead. Combined with what we already know, that he has the power and authority over nature to calm the storm, and he has power in the spiritual realm to cast out demons. This makes Jesus extremely, extremely powerful and miraculous. And while he's all that, it doesn't mean that he has to still every storm, that he has to heal every disease, he has to feed all the crowds, etc. That is not Mark's point. When he tells us these four stories about Jesus' power, it is so that we see that he is God. That Jesus Christ is God. He walks with us. He can do all things. Another thing that this sandwich tells us is that an imperfect faith does not disqualify you from receiving from God. The lady came thinking touching the cloak would heal her. Somehow, in that imperfect faith, she received healing. And then Jesus spoke to her, and everything was made clear. The truth set her free. And we see that he took time to talk to her. She mattered to him. When you take the whole sandwich, you see that Jairus mattered to him too. When Jairus came to him, he says, "Okay, come, let's go." And yes, in the process, he was interrupted, but he continued the journey. And he continued to fulfill his promise in touching the little girl. We don't walk away from this passage feeling that God should heal all our diseases. But we look at it and we realize that this wonderful, powerful God is loving and he came to walk with us. We sit in awesome wonder, recognizing that he seeks us out. He gave his life on the cross that we need not fear death. We need not be consumed by the world's ways, and we have hope for eternity. Whether you are a Jairus or whether you feel like a lady with no name or dare not put up your hand to ask for prayer, this passage tells you that God cares and that you matter. When Jesus agrees to do something, he will see it through. Nothing stops him from fulfilling his promise. He went with Jairus. He responded to his call. And I said there was an interruption, but it didn't change his promise. He continued on, even when things looked bad. His daughter died, but Jesus still carried on to fulfill his promise. So I ask you, church, is there something that Jesus promised you that you have not seen come to pass? Keep believing. Do not be afraid. Just believe. Are you worried about your children? Perhaps they strayed away from God. What was his promise to you about them? Keep believing. Are you worried about your parents? Perhaps if you go to the mission field or you go and do something that may not provide as well financially, but God promised that he will take care of your family. Keep believing. Keep trusting him. Because he does not fail. What he promises to do, he will fulfill. Finally, zooming in on the question for today, who touched my clothes? Just want to bring us back to the worship set that we sang this morning. A week ago, Shanting reached out to me and says, "Pastor, is there any song, any theme that you would like me to work on?" I said, "Not really." I was still working on the message, and I gave him a few very big things. I think I said something, just sing about God's greatness. Something like that. Let people see how great God is. But in my heart, there was a certain theme that I wanted to bring out, that we needed to respond to God's greatness in a certain way. And the song that came to mind was He's Worthy of It All. This is not a Shanting song. Shanting song is Worthy. Yeah, he likes that song. But you know, this song is not a Shanting song, so don't influence Melissa. Just keep quiet. Okay. So I keep quiet. And then on Saturday, he sends me his song list and says, "Pastor, any song here that you would like to use as your closing song? And then I look at it and I laugh because all the songs were on my heart. We are here for Him. Our hearts are open. We need to be here to seek Him. Our hearts must be open to receive from Him. And then of all songs, He is worthy of it all. I'm like, wow. Why? Why this song? I said, because as you see Jesus ask, who touched my clothes? He's looking for the people who have received His healing, His gift, giving an opportunity to identify themselves and give Him glory. Because He's worthy. Everything comes from Him and it goes back to Him. And then the middle song was, to me, this one, don't take it out of context, it's very precious because it says, it's your breath in my lungs, so I pour out my praise. And I've been coughing the whole week. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to pass preaching without coughing. And yet, I says, okay, it's God's breath in my lungs, and I pour out my praise. And throughout the whole worship, didn't cough one time or so. I says, okay, so I can sing without coughing, but I may not be able to talk without coughing. But praise the Lord, He does enable. Right? So coming back to this, this unnamed woman has already received healing. And even in her imperfect faith, she hasn't worked out the theological understanding or the details, but she believes Jesus will help. And Jesus gives her this opportunity to make herself known, to own up that she has received His healing in public. Because faith requires accountability. There is no stealth Christian. And this is what I want to leave with us. There are no secret believers. Yes, there are persecuted churches and there are underground churches, but they are known to each other. No Christian believes alone for extended periods of time. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, make yourself known to the family of God, that you may be discipled. And so if I was to take home one application from his question, who touched my clothes? I feel it's an opportunity to testify of God's goodness, how He has impacted our lives, how He has changed us, how He has walked with us. And this is where we as a church kind of fail sometimes. We ask, anybody would like to know God more or to walk more closely with Jesus Christ? Nobody want to put a hand on. Anybody got a testimony to share? Nobody want to share one. Anybody want to give glory to God? Nobody want to give one. Who touched Jesus' clothes? If you touched His clothes and you received something from Him, why not share? Share in your cell group, share in your family, share with your friends. Because by doing so, we give glory to Him and He is worthy of that glory. So I invite the team to lead us in this closing response song, that everything that you have experienced about Jesus and God, would you just say to Him, thank you.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.